1 Samuel 17, we talked the last several weeks before Tom Scarella came, and we talked about warfare, and I felt to go back to that theme for tonight. And one of my favorite warriors was a reluctant warrior, and his name was David. I don't believe David looked for fights. As a matter of fact, he lived most of his life, his first years of life, getting away from battles, hid in a cave. Saul was after him, and when he did come out, they said Saul has slain his thousands and David's 10,000. So, thank you. I don't think that David was afraid of battle, but he was reluctant to battle. He was a man who had a heart after God, and when you read some of his Psalms, you can see that. But David was thrown right into the middle of a battle, one of the toughest, and we use it so many times for examples. It's easy to look at it from this side because of the outcome. But I often think about what David felt when he was going to the battlefield. He had no idea what he was about to face, but when he did, he understood it to be a battlefield. And one of the things I want to start out with tonight is battles take place on battlegrounds. I know that seems an oversimplification. I mean, where else do you battle but a battleground? But there's no place to hide there. There's no place to, God's not our shield and our buckler He protects us, yes, but when we go to a battle, it's battle time. How many understand that? Yeah. If you're battling through something that a habit that you have or a sin that you can't overcome, it's going to take a battle, and sometimes it takes long time fighting through until you get the victory. Amen. God's not going to just hand it to us. We have the victory, but we got to go through the battlefield. Yes. And he does that because he loves us. 1 Samuel, verse 1, chapter 17, 1. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Sohok, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Sohok and Azekah and Eves-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, about 157 pounds. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. That's about 17 to 21 pounds. And a shield bearer went before him. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, Amadab, and Shammah. David was youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Can you imagine? I'll get this picture. 2 mountains, one with Israel on it, one with the Philistines on it. And in the middle, in the valley, the giant stood with his challenge every day. Battles always take place in valleys. The enemy will come at us our weakest point. He's not dumb. He doesn't come when we're strong, because what would that do? He comes in the valley. He comes when we're unsure of ourselves. He comes when we need the strength and the power of God. And then, you know the story, Jesse asked his son to take some food out to his brothers. In verse 20, he rose up early in the morning, left his sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. This is what David saw. He had no idea what happened before that. 40 days now, they had been doing the same thing every day. And David left his supplies, verse 22, in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. It's 40 days of doing the same thing. Have you seen this man who has come up? They said in verse 25, surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So here they were. They had come into Shohok. Shohok in the original language means a place of protection. Certainly wasn't protection for the Israelites. It was protection for the Philistines, or they thought so. And they also mentioned Azekah, which means to fence about or to fence in. And it was in the area of Ephes Damim, which means bloodshed. So there was peace, protection for the Philistines, they thought. They had fenced the armies of Israel in. They had brought them to a halt. They couldn't advance. They couldn't go anywhere. And it was a place of bloodshed. Goliath, whose name means champion, champion, a go-between or a challenger, Goliath began to voice his challenge to Israel, and he did it with great courage. It seems like he probably had won some battles in the past, the size that he was. And I realized as I was reading this today, the enemy to succeed must send his best. We are a study for our enemy. He knows where our chinks are in our armor. And he sends his best to come against us. Whether it be in the area of discouragement, maybe pride, maybe some sort of addiction, maybe a pet sin that we have. But he'll send his best to beat us. He'll do it. He'll do it every time. And he waits and he watches and he comes with great strength. Goliath came, he had some strength. You either have or will face champions from the kingdoms of darkness, kingdom of darkness. There's no exemptions. All of us are going to face that. So Goliath came and faced the armies of Israel, and he had an anointing from hell. There's no other way that Goliath could have did what he did for as long as he did if he didn't have some sort of supernatural anointing. Just think about this one guy, 9'6" tall, pretty big, 9'6", pretty big. Come on, 9'6", pretty big. But there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Israelites ready to fight. And this one guy was holding them back. Just one guy for 40 days screaming at them, send your best, send your best. Why didn't they just come down and challenge? Why didn't they just come down? Why didn't they go behind? Why didn't they hide or have some sort of... He had a great anointing. And it says that the armies of Israel feared and ran. Fear is the number one tool the enemy will use against us. Fear. And fear is based on the unknown. We don't really know what will happen until we get there. Battlefields, I've never been on one myself. Been on little battlefields, fist fights and stuff like that. But battlefields are naturally a place where fear could you know, there's gunfire, there's grenades, there's bombs, there's all kinds of things, and you're hiding and you're running and you're, and the natural thing would be is to fall back in fear. And that's what happened to every one of them. Every one of the Israelites, even the king. But when you are sent to the battlefield by God to right a situation, whether it be family, church, region, country, there will always be doubters and those who will judge your motives. David, when he got there, he assessed the situation and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now watch what he does. He says in verse 28, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?'" And so Eliab does what so many do whenever we're getting ready to go into battle. There's doubters and naysayers and people that think we're doing it for any other reason but to have a victory. There'll be people that accuse us of all kinds of things when all we want to do is win over a battle. And therefore, we've got to be ready at any time. David had came from a sheep field to a battlefield. That sheep field was calm, pasture-like. He was getting ready to tell a story where he faced some things. But for the most part, it's quiet. You're on your own. You're out there. He went from the sheep field to the battlefield. He was not expecting to see. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that he knew he was going to go and face his biggest trial up to that time. We don't know what we're facing, and we have to surround ourselves. There's always going to be Eliabs in our life. There's always going to be people that say, "We have other motives other than to have victory." And David said, "Is there not a cause?" You know, something about being an overcomer. Overcomers have settled the outcome before the battle. Battlefields. The battle is not won on the battlefield. It was won on the cross. But David had a relationship with God to realize that this guy, no matter who he was or no matter how many he had to face, they were going to go down. They were going to lose. And that's the attitude we have to have. If we have an attitude that says, "God, give me a life where there'll never be any battles. I don't want any more battlefields in my life. God, if you want to reward me with peace for the rest of my life." It's just not going to happen. There are going to be battles. David said, "Is there not a cause? Have I not been sent? Can I meet the need?" That was his question. Is there not a cause? His other brothers spoke to him the same way. And finally, somebody took him to Saul. And look in verse 34. He makes a great speech here. It's very insightful and revealing. He says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like the one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said in verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." We get some insight here. David shares with Saul. Why he shares such an intimate thing with Saul, I don't know. But he shares with Saul. I don't know if he's trying to talk him into going or allow me to go out to fight the Philistine. I don't know what his motivation was. But Saul said, "You're too young. You can't do it. You're not ready for battle." Listen to me. If you're a Christian, you're ready for battle. Doesn't matter what age you are, what size you are, what function you have, you're ready for battle and God will give you the victory. Amen. And David, matter of factly, just told the king, he said, "You know what? I've kept my father's sheep and there's been bears and there's been lions. I beat a bear, I beat a lion. And this Philistine is going to go down just like them." And Saul realizes what he has. Because Saul, with the rest of the Philistines, have been under this anointing for 40 days now. This evil anointing. They're scared. They're all fearful. They're all shaken in their armor. Down behind rocks. And they're scared. They don't want to go out to the battlefield. Every day they get dressed, they go out there. The same thing happens day after day after day after day. And all of a sudden, David speaks right into that thing and dissipates any doubt that Saul might have had. Saul sees an opportunity. Sees an opportunity with David, and he says, okay, go. And then he tries to dress him in his own armor. Now, the king had different armor than everybody else, but he tried to dress David in this armor. And David says, he finally puts everything on. In verse 39, David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Now, something very important. Never go to a battle on someone else's faith. Never try to fight a battle on someone else's faith. We hear a message. Somebody prays with us. We say, man, I love that guy's faith, man. I'm going to go on that faith. You're going to get beat up. Be it unto you according to your faith. According to your faith. There's something's got to rise within you. Because most battlefields for us Christians are mano y mano. We're going against the spirit. We're going against whatever it is. We're fighting. And we've got to overcome fear. And we've got to go out on our own. David understood and recognized. I don't know when his recognition came. But he had to somewhere between the delivery of the cheese to the troops, to his brothers, when he left it with the supply man and went down and saw what was happening on the battlefield. He must have known that destiny was tied up in what he was doing. I believe that. I believe that he must have known, I recognize the hand of God. He delivered me from the bear. He delivered me from the lion. He'll deliver me from the Philistines. Never go to a battle on someone else's faith. Every time it happens, you're going to regret doing it. Verse 40 says, he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now the 5 smooth stones, F-A-I-T-H, he went in faith. First, he went in the fortitude that he had within him to fight the battle. God never gives us faith without giving us boldness and strength. Our strength is in God, but we're strong. We don't realize what strength we do have sometimes. My Bible says that 1 will put 1,000 to flight and 2 will put 10,000 to flight. So I've got strength. I've got strength and boldness and fortitude. I also have A-F-A, the anointing of God. God has anointed me for this time. He's anointed me. If I've got to face a battle, as long as that battlefield, sometimes battlefields, we fall into battlefields we have no right to be in. And then all we need to do is repent. It's get out of jail free card, because you're battling something that you've given your... Like if you give in to a sin again and again and again, you're in a battlefield that God said, I've won over that thing. I beat that thing on the cross. If you'll repent, I'll deliver you from that and you won't have a battle. But if something's trying to come at us and we're in a right place with God, God will give us an anointing to overcome the battle. Fortitude and anointing. Boldness and anointing. Then inspiration from God. He inspires us. What a word David had. He said it about three times. Said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would come against the armies of God? The armies of Israel. Who is this that would defy the armies? the inspiration from God to come against. God will bring us in a battle when we're battling in prayer. God will give us a word to say that will defeat the enemy right there. Things we didn't even knew we knew, God will maybe lead us to a place of scripture, or it'll just come out of our mouth. How many know the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword? And we'll use it against the enemy. Tenacity to see it through. Not only do we have fortitude to fight, but we fight all the way through to victory. I don't have anything if God doesn't give it to me. But what He gives to me, I know He's going to give me things to overcome. And if it's tenacious, if I've got to be tenacious, if I've got to fight, if I've got to fight through, I can do it. I can do it because He gives me the strength to do so. And lastly, we have humility. Knowing that it is God who wins the battles, we go against the spirit, the enemy, whatever it is that's attacking us, we go against it with humility. Now, if you read David's life, you go on and read David's life, David is humble all the way through. In the little mess up he had with Bathsheba and the rest, he kind of got off course there. But David knew what humility was about. The enemy will always propagate the same rhetoric. Nothing new. Verse 42 says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" The enemy has a mouth. He knows what to say. "You will lose. You are nothing. I will destroy you. Come to me and I'll give your carcass to the..." That's the kind of thing the enemy is going to do, because all he has is words. That's all he has is words. And he puts them together in such a fashion that would intimidate. Now, Goliath was good at this because he had done it for 40 days and held a whole army at bay. Whatever words he said, we see the speech he gave. He probably gave the same speech every day. But there was power in that speech. There was power in those words. So the enemy will put words together to us that will make us think that we're going to lose. But David comes back to him and he said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." There's that word again. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." And right there is the design for every battlefield. You don't listen to what the enemy says. You rebuke him, you tell him to shut up, and you come against him with the word of the Lord. This was the word of the Lord out of David's mouth. When he spoke that, the spirit was broken in that place. That's where the battle was won with Goliath. Now, all he had to do was carry out what he just said. All he had to do was walk out there, and he didn't even do that. He ran towards the battle. This proclamation was to the spirits that gave Goliath the power to withstand Israel. He wasn't talking to Goliath now. He was talking to the spirits that were behind this whole thing. Not one man, 9'6", I don't care how big he was, 9'6", not one man could hold the armies of Israel without that whole unholy anointing. And David came against the unholy anointing by saying out what he would do in the name of the Lord. And I know it's been said over and over again, we read the last page, we win. That's all nice things to say. But do we realize that every battle we go into, God has assured us victory? Defeat is not in the vocabulary of the Lord. We're not defeated, we're overcomers. David understood this when he came. I'm not defeated, I'm an overcomer. The youngest kid on that battlefield, he wasn't even supposed to be on the battlefield. He was too young to fight. He was 14 years old. He wasn't even supposed to be in the battle. Can you imagine a 14-year-old kid upstaging a whole army? And that's not what he did it for. He didn't do it to bring shame to Israel. He did it to bring boldness to Israel. And as we fight, as we win victories and we have victories and we walk in victory over the enemy, we begin to encourage one another to go to the battle and to beat the enemy's plans. And boy, if this ever needed to happen, it needs to happen in this nation right now. We need to have a bunch of people string victories together and say, hey, we're on the winning side here. Because we have some giants. We have Goliaths galore everywhere. And they've been holding us at bay for as long as I've been a Christian. Keeping us away from things that we're told we have no business being involved with. But I'm going to tell you what. We do have business. Those are the battlegrounds that await us. And they'll be there and they'll continue to be there until somebody steps on that battlefield and says, I'm going to win. And when I do, my brethren are going to win and we're going to walk in victory. This day, he says in verse 46, the Lord will deliver you into my hand and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Verse 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now wait a minute. One guy holds a whole army at bay. As soon as he's dead, another army runs. Do you see how the anointing, the false anointing is broken by just one person? You don't know that what your one act of defying the enemy and coming against him, you don't know what that'll do for everybody else. And you read on, and the army chased him all the way to out of the area. This proclamation that he made was to the spirits that gave Goliath the power to withstand Israel. All the power was taken out of. Notice that in any battle, the head must be severed. And Jesus said it. He said, if you go to bat, if you want to go and ravage a house, you've got to take the strong man. You've got to beat the strong man. Goliath was beat. He was a strong man and the war was won. But David understood something. He couldn't just kill Goliath. He had to dismember him. He had to take his head off. And that was for a spiritual death. David killed Goliath two times. He killed him two times. Scripture says he let the stone go and sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. And verse 50 says, he prevailed over him with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. Two deaths, physical and then spiritual. David ran for the battle. When it comes to the fight, do not hesitate. When it comes right down to the battle, when you're on that battlefield, don't wait for orders. You know what to do. Go for it. Come against the enemy. Trust God that he's going to give you the victory, and he will. David ran to the battle. He killed Goliath. He killed him twice. He overcame the spirit. Whatever that spirit of fear was that was in that battle was now gone. And Israel was victorious that day. Why? Because somebody understood the ways of the Lord. I don't know why God made it this way. I don't know why that I ask Him oftentimes, God, why do we have to have battles if You have the victory? Why can't You just give us the victory without the battle? But then I understand that we would be spoiled people. And we would take things for granted and we'd try to think we were all that in a bag of chips. We're nothing without God. But with God we have the victory. Do not hesitate. Fight. Fight and the battle will be won. After the battle, they beat him, ran him all the way to the gates of Ekron. After the battle comes jealousy. But man, we're not even there yet. We've got to, not only our personal battlefields, but we've got some battlefields to take again. We've got to take the high ground again. The enemy has won and taken places that are ours. And he's won them by default. There hadn't even been a battle. He's just taken it. How many realize that? We've got to take those battlefields back. We've got to win them back. And it's going to be fights and battles and all kinds of things. But here's the enemy's tactics. He tries to keep us down with the lion and the bear. When God has fashioned us for the Goliath. He's fashioned you and I for the Goliath of this hour. So we've got to overcome. We'll always have lion and bears. We'll always have those personal battles. But every time they come, instead of feeling bad, win over that battle. Because God is strengthening us for something. It's not all for naught. And we could look back over our lives and say, you know, I have beat Goliaths. Well, good. Come and battle again. Let's suit up. Let's have our armor on and fight the good fight. Amen. Father, I thank You for the fight of our lives. I thank You, God, that ahead is some great battlefields that You're asking us to walk onto. But just as David walked on and recognized and saw clearly and had a vision clearly of what he was to do, God, that You would give us clear vision in our personal lives. I lift up each and every one here, Father, whatever battlefield they're facing, Father, that they would realize that there's not a battleground that is in front of them that You have not given them victory. Maybe some tonight are right in the middle of a battle. Father, I pray that they'd be filled with great faith and boldness and inspiration and tenacity and humility to be able to win over the wiles of the devil. Lord, I thank You that You gave us armor, freely gave us armor to overcome all the fiery darts of the enemy. Lord, I thank You for shodding our feet with peace. I thank You that no matter what battle we face, the end product is always going to be peace. You said it was peace that passed all understanding that would guard my heart and my mind. And I thank You, God. I thank You, God, that You've given me truth to stand on. It sustains me. It holds me, God. No matter what the enemy says, he's a liar and the father of lies. Your truth wins over, God. Thank You, God, that You've given me faith. Shield my life with faith, O Father. Thank You, God, that You've given me a breastplate of righteousness. Yes. Lord, I thank You that I'm righteous and holy because of You. I thank You that we are holy people because of You, God. I thank You that You've given me a helmet of salvation. And in my mind, I know I'm saved. I know who I am and who I belong to, God. I'm Yours. God, so we give You the praise and the honor tonight, Father. We thank You for the battles won. We thank You for the victories won, God. And Lord, whatever we're facing ahead, Lord, we pray for a great boldness to come upon Your body, upon Your church. God, we don't want to give up one more inch of ground. We don't want to be hiding behind rocks. Lord, give us the fortitude and the strength to walk out to the battlefield and beat the Goliaths so that we can establish Your kingdom here now in this age that we live in. Despite what's going on around us, God, that we could establish Your kingdom right now, right here. God, I thank You for that. And I ask You for the boldness and the strength to do that in each and every one. Father, we thank you. We bless you for your glory and honor that you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen.